In the Gospel of John in particular, Jesus tries to say goodbye. He talks a lot about the fact that he's leaving, but the disciples have a hard time understanding what he's talking about. And he says to them and to us, "I have so much that I want to say to you. So many things I want to tell you. But you cannot bear to hear them. Not yet." I've always thought that if any one of us, any human being, could talk directly to God, that our brains would just explode. God had to titrate the divine self into the incarnation of God. But Jesus knew, and he says it very clearly, "I have to leave because I can't be here when the third one comes. And the third one has to come so that you will learn how to be my disciples." Jesus talks about many names for this third one: the Spirit of Truth, the Advocate. And the amazing thing about this mysterious third person of the Holy Trinity is that if you translate the word Spirit in different languages, it has different genders. Pneuma in the ancient Greek is neuter. Ruach in the Hebrew is feminine. Spiritus in the Latin is masculine. I think what Jesus was trying to tell us is God is beyond all that. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that the presence of God comes among us in a mysterious way that we will never intellectually grasp, but that can lead us into fuller and fuller understandings of God and of our own role in the created order. Very early in the darkness at the Easter Vigil, we kindle a fire which lights that very candle. That candle is a symbol of eternal life. Have any of you ever kindled a fire? It involves banging rocks together and rubbing things together, and what you're hoping for is some kind of a little explosion, when out of nowhere this spark comes and the spark lights the fire. In order to help us grasp this third one, this mysterious one, there are many metaphors that are used, and one of them is fire. On this day at 9 o'clock in the morning, the disciples and friends were gathered in an upper room together, and I really believe that they must have had a moment of what I would call simplicity. In my life, the Holy Spirit comes to me when I'm not full of myself, which is pretty rare. When I'm full of myself, I'm worrying about one thing or another. I'm feeling good or bad. I'm thinking about something I didn't do right in the past or something that I should be doing better in the future, and it's all about me, me, me. But every once in a while, I put myself aside and I'll have a moment of quiet. And that's when the Holy Spirit tends to show up. So I think that the disciples were in the upper room. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and they weren't sure what to do next. But instead of trying to answer all the questions, they just sat there for a minute. And it was in that moment that it happened. There was a sound like a rushing wind. Loud. Light filled the room everywhere, looked like flames above people's heads. It sounds cosmic, otherworldly, bizarre. No wonder Hallmark has been able to capture Pentecost the way that it can capture Christmas and Easter. It can't be tamed. It's too weird. But whatever happened in that room changed the lives of the disciples. Just look at Peter. Peter, the bumbling idiot who put his foot in his mouth all the time, all of a sudden becomes a person who is preaching these eloquent sermons. The disciples start communicating and they go out into the world. And the church as we know it is born out of that kindled fire, out of that moment. And this morning, we're going to baptize 4 people. And that candle will lead them down to the font. And we will seal them with the sign of the cross. And with the Holy Spirit, they'll be marked as Christ's own forever. They'll be handed a fire on a candle, which I ask them to light on the day of their baptism every year. And that same candle will be present as we lead their bodies into this church or wherever they will one day be buried. Because this is a sign of the life of the Holy Spirit that now will dwell within them throughout their whole lives. We believe that the presence of God lives in every single one of you. A couple of years ago, I had a long conversation with a woman who had been married for over 60 years, and her husband had just died. I asked her what was her favorite thing about her husband, and she said that every Tuesday night, they would go ballroom dancing. And she learned, because in the traditional ballroom dancing, the man leads. She learned how to follow his footsteps. But then she said, as we grow older, we learned how to move together and we learned how to truly listen to the music. And it was then that I felt so much love for him. The Trinity is as if Jesus is asking you to dance with him, but you don't know how to follow him, and so the Holy Spirit is the music. You see, God sang you into being when you were made. God sang the whole created universe into being, and God is always singing to you, always asking you to listen, to dance, to follow in the steps of Jesus, but we don't often know how. Everyone, if you want to know what your superpower is, one of our counselors here at the church says it best. She says, think about your childhood and the thing that you did really well and that you loved to do before you were full of yourself. Before you were so busy and your mind was full of noise, what did you love? God is going to use that superpower to dance with you and to change the world. But if we're going to hear the music, we've got to learn to quiet down a bit. You see, our minds are so full of noise. The electronics have prodded our brains into hyperactivity, and it's very difficult to hear the Holy Spirit. It's very difficult not to be full of yourself when you're combing social media to see how many likes you have. Just last week, I was flying to New York for a conference. I never wear my collar on the plane anymore. You know why, don't you? Because the person next to me tends to confess their sins. Or they want to tell me why they don't believe in God. Meanwhile, I just want to take a nap. So years ago, I stopped wearing my collar, but I was sitting in a kind of a small plane next to a young woman, and I rested and worried and did my full of myself stuff. But as we were starting to descend, I had a moment of clarity and simple-mindedness, and I felt a nudge. I didn't hear a voice. I just thought, you have to talk to the woman next to you. And I thought, really? I took off my collar for a reason. So I turned and said, hi, tell me about yourself. And she said, oh, Kate, I know exactly who you are, but I didn't want to bother you. And she started telling me all about her life. And that was great. But if we're worried, and if we're in physical or mental pain, or if we're distracted, we won't hear the music. We'll miss the person sitting right next to us. We'll miss our greatest gifts, our superpower. Jesus is all the time asking you this simple question. Will you dance with me? Will you dance with me?